Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back
to Babysitting Trevor. Season, you overdid it, mate.
Season four, episode one.
We've had a bit of a gap.
We had a gap.
You've been swanning it around.
I've been in America.
The Hollywood Hills.
I've been in America.
Is that where you live over there?
Definitely not in the hills, mate.
I don't know what that.
That's
know.
The expensive.
I've just heard that.
It's the expensive
phrase.
Bit. I look up at the hills, wishing I could afford to live there.
In the Hollywood.
Pit.
Yeah, okay.
The Hollywood death pit.
So we've done some things while you're away. Some of it was just normal, actual mates hanging out. But we also did things specifically for Babysitting Trevor. One was go to a vegan restaurant. It was an absolute joy.
Yep.
Be interesting to see what Trev's take on it was. And we also do need to discuss the fact that it almost had to be aborted due to its location.
Okay, so, yeah, I can guess where it was located.
And we've had Trev recording a lot of voice memos.
Which will be catching me up on his mental state.
Yeah, because most last three seasons, I suppose, have been us monitoring him through activities. This one we thought, why don't we start actually keeping tabs on him when we're not around?
Yeah, it's so. Like one of those little ankle bracelets you put on. Someone who's just been let out of prison, but said voice memos.
We should get him an Amazon Echo and see how he gets on with one of those.
It just, Alexa, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Right, let's see how Trev is. Hi, Trev.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome back.
Back, yes.
Season four.
Yeah, it's all very exciting, isn't it? Done my memos, and I may have fucking let the cat out of the bag with the memos. I'm very honest.
What do you mean, let the cat out of the bag? Yeah. Is it going to be some revelation?
Yeah, no,
it could be revelation. Yeah, yeah. I'll just let my inner thoughts run free, and maybe I'm a bit too fucked in the head to do that kind of thing.
Maybe. It's not like you're normally the most guarded of...
No, that's true.
Yeah, I thought you now think you've been too honest.
Yeah.
So it's the bloke who admits to getting two handjobs off a strange lady and never saw her again.
How
have you felt with Chris's absence?
Well, we've sort of done things together, haven't we?
We have sort of
formed a deeper bond.
I'm upset.
Yeah,
we did a few.
You can't go to LA and get
upset. I did miss Chris. I missed his positivity.
Thank you.
He's very exuberant.
And he
brings it out of me, doesn't he? He brings the best out of me, Chris.
I'm a Trevor whisperer, mate.
He just asks me questions. He startles me at times when he asks me questions. He does, because he moves his head too quickly. He moves his head very quickly. He's got his head going
very
forward.
Quick,
and then all of a sudden he goes, and what do you think, Trevor?
Yeah, he does. You're right, actually.
Yeah,
just your head turns very quick.
Yeah, and it startles me. Yeah, I know.
Most people would have a much more sort of...
Yeah, that's right.
Well, most people like kitchen cupboards, like have them softened.
That's right.
Gently closes. You're like
mine
a 70s cupboard.
Mine doesn't have one here. You can't shut the cutlery drawer. I will slam shut.
You need a head like a revolving restaurant, that sort of that speed, just coming around. Oh, really? So you know what to expect. Your head's coming around. Okay.
A revolving restaurant is already quote of the season because it sort of makes perfect sense.
Have you ever been in a revolving restaurant?
Yeah. I went to one in Sydney.
I bet you hated it.
No, you're not aware that it's moving. Yeah, it was on Centrepoint Tower in Sydney for my 40th birthday.
Oh, I've been to that.
Yeah, right. It's pretty spectacular. I wasn't aware it was moving. Someone said it was moving.
You weren't aware it was moving?
They move very slowly.
Yeah, I've been in it.
But then I did notice the...
You see the view change, though.
Yeah, I did. Eventually, I looked out. Oh, a fucking different view. And that must have moved. maybe the view had moved.
Yeah, there's a team of Australians just shifting the buildings around outside.
But no, it was, I liked it, actually. I wouldn't mind living in a revolving flat.
Oh, you quite like it?
Yeah, I do like it.
But what would the advantage be about living it? If you had a view, it'd be great. But if you live like where Carl does.
Maybe if you lived in Dagenham, it'd be no point revolving, really. It's pretty fucking grim.
It's funny to slack off Dagenham.
360 degrees of grimness.
Yeah. Fuck you, Dagenham. You want to step in there? I went to, there's a nightclub in Newcastle on a boat that had a revolving dance floor.
Oh, right, okay. Are you a dancing person?
Like, I actually do quite like dancing. Carl thinks I'm not very good at it, but I'd say...
<It's weird.
laughs> You don't think I'm good at it.
I wouldn't say I'm the only person who thinks you're not particularly great at dancing.
I think I'm all right at dancing. I think I've got an all right rhythm.
Yeah, right.
No? Okay.
You use it to pick women up, but...
I don't think I've ever... I think nowadays... dancing to pick up women
is that a thing that
happens? That was a thing in the '70s. Think, well, he's a good dancer. I think people were like, does this guy have a good personality rather than that creepy fucker who's got cool hips?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, you don't really. I don't know if young people go out and dance now to try opposite sex.
No, it was a big thing when I was younger. You'd ask a girl for a dance. That was if she said yes, that was shag definitely.
What just? So, yeah,
I mean, that's murky. Well, if they dance with you. Then it was definite.
That's
3 out of 4 times. Yeah, if you're dancing,
they say no quite easily as well. So they could say no quite easily. It was I missed out there. But if they said yes,
I do know what you mean. Back then it was more like we'd like to dance. Kind of going, oh, I'm attracted to that guy, so I'll dance. But it would be. Would you ever just like what kind of dance moves were you doing back then? What was your kind of?
I'd use my karate moves in the dance
what? Yeah. What do you mean?
I'd be dancing and doing my fucking card.
Did it only work to kung fu fighting dance?
But that, even despite the karate, 75% of the time they still slept with you.
When the ratio dropped down a bit, I worked with the karate dance. Yeah.
The ratio dropped down to about 0%.
After each dance, did you turn to the person and bow and then leave the dance floor?
I was just taking the piss out of dancing, which I shouldn't have done because she was dancing. I was taking the piss out of the whole thing, which I shouldn't have done.
No. That was the genre of dancing.
Yeah.
Karaoke.
So, but I mean, if you went to somewhere like the Polynesian Islands, if you asked a woman for a dance, you had to pull them up. You have to grab them by the hand and pull them up, right? Okay. Otherwise, they wouldn't get up. You could be Brad Pitt, handsome as fuck, and yet to show your dominance by grabbing them by the hand and pull.
Is that current still in Polynesia?
I'm not sure, but quite possibly the cultural.
Let's just check that's current. That could be 200.
For anyone visiting Polynesia,
don't just yank a woman by the arm.
Do check with the cultural. Current cultural terms.
But you had to do it, otherwise you'd get nowhere with a woman. You had to show your dominance, male dominance. So otherwise,
that's the same culture where I think if you're the youngest, if you're a family and you just have sons and you're the youngest son, you are, I can't remember the name for it, you are treated as a girl.
Right.
And you have to help the mother around the house and stuff. You dress like a girl and... you end up just helping the mum.
Really?
It's really odd, yeah. If they need a female in the house, supposedly.
Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't mind that.
You have to get yanked by the hand a few times on the dance floor, as if see the negative side of it. So, you've missed me, is what we're saying here.
You got this insatiable desire to be a fucking Hollywood star. And then when you're a star...
Lust for fame.
Yeah, and then when you're a star, you ain't even fucking talking.
No, I still talk.
If he becomes a Hollywood star, we're riding on his coattails right to the top.
Babysitting Trevor live.
You'll be going, babysitting who? What's that bloke's name?
No, mate. I'll never forget the guy who keeps sending me YouTube videos of bodybuilders dying. That's something you sent me.
Yeah,
you sent me...
What I like is you've created... We get these... We obviously have like one-on-one emails, but you do like a group email. You always send like a footage of like a 70-year-old man doing chin-ups.
Who's in our group? Because it's me and Carl, and there's some names I don't know. Who are the other people?
Epiphany, like I've got to tell everyone. And there's
Julia's on there.
Julia's on there.
So she wants to watch old people do chin-ups.
She wants to watch a bodybuilder do a forward flip on his head and die.
I've got my mate Dub.
Who is this Dub? Because I see
in Canberra.
Right, I see these names.
What's his background?
He's completely insane. he's the one who basically I think sort of fucked my head up a little bit, because I used to be reasonably normal, and I met Dub, who's highly cynical.
Yeah.
Right.
And I just started being really cynical and going to parties and just being
completely
objectionable.
Oh, right. Really?
And it was his influence about... He's got a very low opinion of humanity.
Yeah.
And so he convinced me that humanity, you know, wasn't worth worrying about. Just do what I feel like doing. If people are offended, fuck them. You know, make it, they're all idiots. So I had that attitude.
You're very impressionable, Trevor.
I am, yeah.
You're like your own mother. You're telling yourself off. You're
he sabotaged me. He said, yeah, there'd be women. I was quite popular with women on one level when I was young. I was good looking and I was witty and I could get laughs, but I'd sabotage the whole thing because of Dub's influence. He'd say, like, I'd be chatting up a woman and he'd say to me, Trevor, why don't you pull your cock out just for a bit of a laugh?
Oh, my God.
And
you would say, because that is not allowed, Dub.
Yeah, but this was...
Is this like Fight Club? Is Dub real or is Dub like your alter ego?
Yeah. No, Dub's in your head.
Dub Tyler Durden. Yeah.
No, Dub's real, but we used to do things back then just for the sake of our mates, just for a laugh.
Yeah,
And without realizing, we're
just checking. What year are we talking here?
1970s, maybe 70s, 80s.
Times.
Yeah, so
I'm glad they are over. Yeah.
And then we completely sabotaged our sex lives by doing it, by catering to our fucking mates.
Yeah,
Women like me, and then they go off me very quickly.
Seriously, what happens when you get your cock out?
Yeah, that's right.
On a dance
you can do as many karate based dance moves as you want to recover.
Yeah. So there's Dub. That's Dub. He's very cynical. He used to have...
Is he a single man now?
No, he was married. The marriage fucked up.
Oh, weird that.
Yeah.
He kept getting his dick out whenever an important meeting.
He married a girl from Polynesia. Oh, yeah. And
wonder who told you about the old dance move.
And he... I think he married a girl from Polynesia because they're very traditional. You know, they're like masculine men. They're subservient. Up to a point, they can be very violent, Polynesian women. They have a few drinks. They're very violent.
Yeah.
And they're strong. They'd punch the fuck out of you two. Like, his wife was so... she's like a powerhouse. She's like a little fucking...
So she used to slap around Dub?
No, she's not that...
Basically, she could take us, not Dub.
Yeah, I mean, the average public servant, if you saw his wife go off, lose her temper, you'd be quite scary. She's like super... And very strong, strong.
Yeah, average public servant.
So she'd just give you two a good bitch slapping, I think, and that would... which you would do with most men, actually.
Yeah. But ultimately, their marriage did come to a...
It came to an end, and they decided to still live together for the sake of the house and financial complications. I didn't have kids.
For the sake of the house is a funny thing. We're doing it for the house. Yeah. We don't want to upset the house. Let's start stroking the house. Don't cry.
See, in Polynesia, if you can't have kids, and she couldn't have kids, she had something wrong with her.
Because she was a geezer in a dress, probably. She was the youngest son.
Can't give birth out of your cock, can you? Basically, but in Polynesia though, you say you can't have children.
Yeah,
a friend of mine said, "Well, you can have one of mine."
Just give you one of the kids.
Give you one, yeah.
That's right. Where is this place?
Are you thinking of Mad Max?
Couldn't have children, so one of her friends said, "Well, I've got fucking 5 or 6 kids."
Five or six?
Yeah,
off you knocking
it's
around.
A six pack of beers.
And she said, "You can have one," and then she took two. Actually, she had two.
Oh, come on, that's overstepping the mark, isn't it?
Bit greedy.
Two of the kids. What age were the kids when
they were quite small. They were like five or six.
That's older than the kids. Set up themselves, but as a member of that family.
But they grown to giants. I mean, Polynesians are big people.
Lord
of the Rings.
They're fucking giants. Yeah, this one of the kids. Size 19 feet.
Oh my
How big are your feet? I don't know.
I'm an 8.
You're 8.
Yeah. Double the size.
Here's a 19. This is like at the age of 18. He had fucking size 19 feet. His shoes would take up most of the room.
Bet she was thinking, oh, he's only taken one. Now that this one's taken
So she ended up with these two giants, and she was spending, about just on food, $1,200 a month just on food. Because they imagine giant.
But I'm guessing over, and actually, were they living in Australia at the time?
Yeah, they're in Canberra, yeah. So they eat like fucking, you can imagine, but they weigh like 21 stone at the age of fucking 18. They're massive fucking kids. And and then, all the fucking food, the food intake was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
And then now they're a part of the family, really. It hasn't gone through, I don't think, any legal procedures. They just happen, well,
no, they just
they're your kids now. That's it.
Does Dub, is he like their father sort of thing?
Yes, he is. Yeah, I suppose he is. Is that a surrogate father? I'm not sure. Yeah. It's not legal. Stepfather?
Must be something.
Not even a stepfather, is it? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Do they know that their real mum? I mean, they're not in the case of listening. They know that the other lady was their mum.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, they know, right, yeah. They know the biological mother, but now they're bonded with with Dub and his wife.
Oh, right. And, now I see why you said all the bodybuilding videos to him.
Yeah,
something for your son to look at, mate.
Right. It's funny. One of them, Junior, he weighs
massive geezer called Junior.
Yeah, Junior, he weighs 130 kilograms.
Wow.
He's a professional bouncer.
Yeah.
He actually had a fight when he was 13, and he used to beat blokes up, like a full-blown fucking bloke at the age of 13. Yeah. And he threw a bloke out at this club one night, and the bloke attacked him, and Junior just gave him a left jab, knocked him out. And they said, and then Junior said, well, I didn't want to hit him with my right hand, I would have fucking killed him. So he just gave him. So that's the power of the young bloke.
Jesus.
You know, like. But he's terrified of mice. If he sees a mouse, he actually faints.
It's just unbelievable. It's like a cartoon character. Yeah.
If you were writing about him in a sitcom and you added in that, that's just unrealistic.
Yeah. No, he's 130 kilograms of pure muscle. He can, when he was 13, he could bench press 250 pounds. He used to knock blokes out with a left jab. And he sees a mouse. I'm not kidding. He just faints. He doesn't
faints.
He doesn't run away. He just
on the spot faints.
Yeah, faints on the fucking spot. So, unbelievable.
Mate, it's like an elephant. He's literally an elephant. He's a massive elephant. He's scared of mice. Yeah. That's so funny.
So that's Dub. Dub is an atheistic rationalist. Very well read. I was at traffic lights in Melbourne with Dub years ago, and these Hare Krishnas come up, they're on the street, they come up to your singing, and Dub had his shorts on. As they approached, he just pulled his shorts down and waved his cock at them.
What's he
and
doing?
Just said, fuck off.
Why does he love getting his cock out so
I don't
much?
Know, this was like a long years ago, you could do that kind of thing. There was no security cameras.
That wasn't the main reason to not do it, to be honest. I'll argue that the reason I don't get my cock out now isn't because of the CCTV.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you'd love to. Yeah, you'd love to.
I'd love to get my cock out. There's fucking cameras everywhere.
PC got mad.
No, I'm just getting cock out of Hare Krishnas anymore. What sort of world are we living on?
Orwellian shit. Yeah. Cock out of shirts.
Anyway, that's one of the people on the...
That's good. Well, let's find out next... I think we should find out who's... about a new person on the chain. Next episode, we're going to find out who else is on the team.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I went through this fucking thing in my head. I said, I've got to eat somehow, just can't sit. So I've got to pick out the least religious sounding meal.
So this, the task we did as a sort of group without Chris was we went to a vegan restaurant.
Yeah,
me, you, Julia, producer Joel, and there was, we had almost aborted
Yeah, yeah. I noticed there was a religious building next to the restaurant.
Yeah. But it wasn't just that. You were convinced that the actual restaurant was part of an ex-religious building.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, you had a proper turn, didn't you?
I did have a bit of a turn, yeah, with Julia. And I said, oh, fuck, you know what I mean? Because I thought the restaurant was part of this fucking church thing. So I'm going, what can I eat? What can't I eat? And I went through this fucking thing in my head. I said, I've got to eat something. I just can't sit. So I've got to pick out the least
religious sounding meal.
The least religious sounding meal.
Because
no wine.
Watching Julia sort of work was pretty impressive. Was she really knows how to talk you down.
Yeah, she called me a fucking idiot or something.
Well, there was some of that as well.
fucking idiot.
But she uses a lot of tactics. One minute it's sort of quite the gentle approach, and then it is stop being a fucking idiot.
That's right.
She knows when to sort of play hard. She's like good cop and bad cop.
Yeah, she's got both cops covered.
She's trying to get me tonight. She wants me to have corn, you know, that fucking corn mushroom stuff.
Oh, corn.
Corn.
Q-U-O-R-N. Corn is...
I think it's Frankenstein food. I don't want it in me, really.
But you love Jaffa cakes, which aren't, you know, they don't grow on trees.
Yeah, that's true.
There is some processing involved in a Jaffa cake.
But anyway, with the vegan restaurant, I thought...
field of Jaffa cakes.
Pick any Jaffa cake you like from this field.
Fresh, straight off the bud.
I thought with the vegan restaurant, I thought I'll give it a go because I wanted good vegan food.
Yeah. And once you calmed down at the table, you did agree to eat some food. Yeah. You asked Julia to
read
you the
menu.
The funniest thing was you asked Julia to read you the menu, I'd argue upwards of 30 times.
Yeah. What do you mean? Why did you refuse to read the menu?
You didn't have your reading glasses.
Didn't have a glass. I can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a vegetarian restaurant where it's 90% of the dishes are vegan.
Yeah.
Mm. And every dish you'd say, I won't have that because it's not vegan. And she'd say it is vegan.
What?
And then you'd get her to read it again and then say, is that one vegan?
Yeah.
It was just repeat.
Oh my God.
Her patience was outstanding.
Yeah.
It was a real joy to watch.
Did you have to watch her? She literally would list one at a time.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, no.
Yeah,
and then she'd hit one you want, and then you went, yeah.
No, I mean, they went through the list a good, like, loads of times.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
And even the fifth time of reading, you'd still ask, is that one vegan? Should have told you four times before.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So
it was good. It was an insight into the relationship you two have when you do have an episode. And Julia has to be the sort of...
Oh, my God.
You know, the guide through the stormy waters.
She doesn't dominate me in that sense, but she sort of just speaks a bit of common sense and
babysits you basically.
Yeah, babysits. Well, exactly. Yeah. And then I go, no, Julia knows what she's talking about, and she's very supportive. I said, if something went really badly, she'd bay darling and give me a bit of a pat and say, fucking, you know, that.
And then call you a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's right.
Put your little hood over your eyes.
Yeah.
Little hawk. just leave him in the corner.
Yeah. yeah, hood.
That's what we need, actually.
Need
a Trevor hood.
Whenever there's a religious building, cover his eyes.
Put his hood on quick.
Quick.
Before he sees you.
Give me a meal and you take the hood off in the middle of a cemetery or something.
What did you have, Trev?
I had a potato fucking daffernaus or whatever it is North African vegetables.
Yeah, that was
whatever
lovely.
The fuck that, man. I've got no idea.
With some what vegetables?
It was called a rotolo or something. It was like a sort of stack, a circle of potatoes with like vegetables in the middle. Really lovely.
It was very nice. No, it wasn't
the puddings, I think, was where it really came into its
own. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought when the desserts come around and I thought, oh, I don't know about fucking vegan fucking dessert. What's in this? But I went, fuck it, I'll give it a go. Fucking great fucking dessert.
My dessert was a world-class dessert. It was called a snowball. It was a big chocolate ball.
Hang on. Have I been to this place?
The gate.
I might have been. I think I've had one of them before.
It's so good.
What was I? Have I had a cheesecake, something or other cheesecake. What the fuck was it? Garlic? No, not garlic.
Garlic cheesecake.
garlic.
I can't remember what flavour you had.
Coffee.
Cappuccino. Yeah.
I can see how you thought garlic.
I
often do that in Starbucks. Yeah. Can I have a cup of garlic? I mean cappuccino, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, the cappuccino cheesecake, yeah. Which was fucking excellent.
Yeah, it was good.
That was very good.
Yeah.
I've been pushing the boundaries a bit with my food. I remember, even 5 years ago, I would eat like chicken wraps on the corner, that period of my life. And I wouldn't eat anything duly cooked. And if I went to restaurants, I'd case the restaurant. I'd go, who's in there? What
case the restaurant? Well, you just walk in the kitchen and stuff.
I'd see,
check the exits.
Yeah. I'd look through the window and I'd go, what? He looks a bit seedy, the fucking chef. And I'd look at the menu, I'd circle the
coming
building.
It's
like a fucking, what's his name? It's like a stalker or something.
Yeah.
And then I'd go in, and if it was sort of okay, I'd just go back to one restaurant every time, order the exact same food.
Really?
So, yeah. So, I've come a long way as far
as that's quite good.
That is good.
Do you now gone, and you've gone vegan again? You went vegan, which is obviously.
Yeah, different. No. It's these eating things, once I've gone through it, I'm okay. Yeah, the next day it's all forgotten, even if something dramatic happened on the night. So, it's just it's about challenging the phobia. You know, and sometimes you can't challenge it. The phobia wins, and you go, fuck it, I can't do it. After effects could be really bad. But most of the time, if you challenge the phobia, you win.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Easier said than done, but you have to push through it. You know, the pain, like lifting weights, you've got the pain barrier, and this is a barrier. You have to fucking push through it.
There you go, look at that.
I'm not blaming the women. I mean, I think Bertrand could have been fucking hard to live with, really.
So, task two, but kind of a nice ongoing one anyway, is you doing your voice memos. So an individual task for you generally because it involves you not leaving your house.
Yes, that's right. So I just had I did particularly like the idea of doing voice memos at first. I thought, what can I say? And I felt a bit tense in front of it. And then I tried to treat the device as like a fucking friend.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking to a person.
Yeah.
Soon you won't even need us, mate. You'll just be you and the
voice. I'll always need you.
Always. Well, let's hear one of these memos then from producer Joel.
Let's see what I said.
I'm looking at a painting on the wall, actually. We bought this painting in Adelaide a few years ago. It's a beautiful painting. It's rolling hills of Adelaide around the McGill area, and it's very soothing to look at. Back then, probably going back 7 years, it was beautiful. And no houses on it. The entire planet was like that once, mate. Nothing built on it, just rolling hills and beautiful nature. And humanity is a fucking plague.
I was listening again. This is a really nice.
It felt really positive.
Positive. Yeah. And just took then a detour. Cynicism took over.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's right.
Dubstep, mate.
Initially, because Julie bought the painting in Adelaide, and it was partially Julie's influence to begin with.
Yeah.
And talking about the painting and the rolling hills, then suddenly dub fucking kicked in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my alter ego.
Maybe it's your Tyler Durden, mate.
And I just go, it's fucking. You manage the plague.
We are, but you are part of it.
I'm part of the plague, right? I am. I'm that little fucking bacteria. You know, if you look at a plague, it's sort of a bacteriological thing, isn't it? I'm fucking just one of the bacteria as well.
Yep.
Yeah. That's, there's nothing, maybe that's quite a liberating thing to accept, isn't it?
I think so. In a way, it should kill your ego, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It should affect your ego. And I think, if you ever get egotistical, she said, well, I've got no right to have an ego, I'm a fucking microbe.
Yeah.
I think it probably can be quite a good thing. I just think back to when it was natural, it would have been lovely and calming to look at.
There we go.
That's it. Voice memo number two.
I was thinking about Bertrand Russell today. He's probably one of my favourite philosophers. Funny thing was, mate, I think he was married four times. He had four relationships and so he knew his inner self very well, and he knew humanity even better, but he didn't know fucking women, did he? And such a great thinker like that, and so articulate, and he was brought undone by women. I'm not blaming the women. I mean, I think Bertrand could have been fucking hard to live with, really. And, would have been no lightheartedness in the relationship with her. Maybe a few laughs, but generally philosophers are very, very deep and insular. And he certainly wouldn't have been an easy bloke to fucking live with. I mean, so I just thought I'd mention that, and women got the better of him.
I take your point. I bet not on the point. It must be hard to go out of a philosopher, I'd say.
Well, yeah, if you're surrounded by fucking idiots. Let's say, I mean, Bertrand Russell may not have been surrounded by idiots because 1940s, 50s and so on, there's plenty of intelligent people around, but if you go back to when people didn't read and write, someone like Leonardo da Vinci, he's surrounded by complete fucking morons. So that would have been a hard life. He would have been totally on his own.
Yeah, he would have been like, have you seen the thing I painted up on the... Did he paint that thing on the ceiling?
No, that was Michelangelo.
That was Michelangelo. He's
one of the modern day idiots.
So
he's the guy who invented all that stuff, Leonardo da Vinci. He did a lot of inventions.
He did, actually.
he did a lot of inventions.
I think the catapult or some shit, I don't know. Did he invent the catapult?
Yeah, he came up with loads of stuff.
Submarine. He was sort of, if you read some of his stuff...
I've read a bunch of his stuff.
In Praise of Laziness. Have you read that one?
No.
When I was on the dole for like 20 years, I saw this book, In Praise of Idleness. I thought it justified my existence as far as being on the dole. I was on the dole for 20 years. And Bertrand had an idea that... if everyone, let's say, got to the point where we had all this advanced technology, we could actually not work and like just sit on a fucking beach all day and learn and read. You know what I mean?
He believed in a one world government, didn't he?
I think the world would still be dysfunctional and fucked even with a one world government.
So
that's just the nature of humanity. Too many people on it. I think that the if we lived in a tribal society, the ideal size of a tribe is about 30 people.
Yeah.
And the average area those tribes would have would about 500 square kilometres. So you'd have 30 people living in 500 square kilometre landmass.
Loads of room.
Loads of space.
Heaps of room. But we don't have that now, do we?
Would you be in a tribe? Would you like that lifestyle?
Well,
you'd have to hunt and gather, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
and
you'd
have to eat outside of Tesco.
Being funny could be useful. You'd like lighten things up, and maybe you'd be a morale booster for the rest of the tribe. So being a comedian in a tribe may be okay.
Okay.
Even though you couldn't hold your own as a fucking hunter, I'd be fucking tripping over my spear and shit, and it'd be fucking shocking. I'd find it hard to stab things to death. But generally...
it's a funny quote. I find it hard to stab things. I'm with you on that. I agree, it's hard to do that.
So sort of... 30 people in a tribe, let's say 15 men, 15 women. Sex would be agreed upon. You'd all get a shag. You'd all get a shag. There'd be no sexual frustration. Yeah. No need to fucking...
Would you all have one partner, or would it be...
No, it'd be swap around.
Free for all.
Yeah, swap around. That's what they used to do.
Oh, really?
One tribe was reading about Polynesian tribe.
Polynesian tribe, here we go.
Mate, Trevor's special subject.
Yeah, they'd have an orgy once a month.
Oh, would they? Well, they would chuck their spears in a pot or something. They'd pick out the spears, so you go home.
You'd all get to shag one another, which means you wouldn't desire... another woman, because you'd shag her eventually anyway, so that's less of a conflict.
Be like, I really fancy Sally. I'm going to get to shag her on May 28th.
If we have got any Polynesian listeners, I apologise for everything that has been discussed in this podcast.
You just tell us how, if this is a load of bollocks.
It's not bollocks. Okay.
So they have one specific Polynesian tribe.
Yes, that's right. I can't remember.
Of course, this is a classic.
No, do your homework in Polynesia. I'm fucking dead right.
So they have an orgy once a month?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that way, that was a tribal harmony, because if a bloke was sexually frustrated, it'd affect the harmony of the group.
Yeah.
And whereas if you're getting a shag, you fucking...
I'd be worried if you turned to... If it was Junior, got a fucking size 19 feet, he's going to shag my wife. I'd hate it.
Normally, if I write a poem, I get the idea, like a concept, after about a few lines. I just couldn't do anything with this. I got
I think a
poem.
Review for the restaurant makes more sense anyway. Yeah.
Should we post it on TripAdvisor?
Yeah, put it on Yelp.
So I thought I wrote this review. Now, it was 1,000 words, and I've cut it down to 700. Now, it's not particularly funny. It's like, it's me reviewing food and stuff. It's got a few amusing bits in it.
We've had erotic fiction, we've had eulogies.
Yeah, that's right.
Why not have a review?
This won't set the comedy world alight, but I think it's got a few amusing little bits in it.
Feel free to review us on iTunes, guys, once again.
I was filled with trepidation when the team announced that our next group task was dinner at a vegan restaurant in Hammersmith. I hate eating in restaurants that I am unfamiliar with. My OCD makes me paranoid about hygiene and cleanliness. My suggestible mind conjures up all kinds of nightmare situations. I visualise the chef being an unsavoury type, a big, fat, hairy, sweaty bastard with a bad head cold, sneezing and coughing over my food, beads of sweat cascading from his bulbous forehead onto my salad. Or worse, coming back from the toilet without washing his hands, a confetti-sized piece of toilet paper clinging to a finger that breaks loose, fluttering down like a brown snowflake, settling on a cherry tomato. I shuddered at the thought, horrible, intrusive thoughts that have no basis in reality unless I'm eating at Garfunkel's. I like to check the location and the history of the building a restaurant is in to ensure that it is not a former church or, as in the case of a Sydney restaurant many years ago, a converted crematorium.
Oh.
On arrival, I was horrified to find the building next to the restaurant was a religious meeting hall. Not quite a church, but bordering on one. I was agitated. How could I have missed this? The restaurant had high ceilings with wooden beams, similar to a church. My spirits sank like the share market in 2008. Julia told me not to be an idiot, and after confirmation from the waitress that the place was actually a former artist studio, I calmed down and ordered a beer. The waitress was lovely, and I found myself objectifying her.
She was very pretty, actually.
I got Julie to read the menu for me. She recommended Daffynhaus potatoes with a North African vegetable stew. I was into my second beer when the main course arrived and was feeling no pain. I was starting to feel quite good. I objectified the waitress one more time and picked up my knife and fork. My first mouthful made my taste buds dance like hyperactive Cossacks. It was delicious. Over coffee, I began to assess my position on veganism. Vegans usually say they are vegans for moral reasons, that killing is wrong. I respect that view, but have not reached that conclusion yet. Carr would argue otherwise from an ethical perspective. I go by the Nando's morality code, and although I admire veganism, I will continue to eat meat. The hunter in me and the intestines in me demand it.
There we go. That was a bit of science in there.
Very little actual food. No. Like the food was a very minor part of that food review, wasn't it?
Mainly the waitress and the imaginary bald, sweaty chef.
I remember saying it to Joel as we were leaving, and this, I'm not in a creepy object. I mean, but there was, on the table next to us, do you remember I said, there was like the prettiest lady.
Yeah.
She look how fit she is. Like, just, like, it was like this
Gal Gadot.
Like Gal Gadot. She looked like she was a real model, man. Like,
real model.
Like, she just looked like a painting.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
You know, when you see someone, it's not even, it's a different sort of thing.
Admiration.
It's admiration for just how pretty she was.
What would you have done if she'd sort of smiled at you and winked? And
I would have jumped out a window, mate. I couldn't have handled it.
What would you have done?
I would have just smiled back like a normal human being. Yeah,
I would have...
changed tables?
Yeah.
Sorry, Julia.
A little bit of titillation's all right, isn't it? A bit of flirtatious behaviour's all right.
Right.
Right, we've got to go. Trev, we'll see you for episode 2.
Okay.
It's good to be back, isn't it? It's good to get the gang back together.
I'm really excited.
Are you glad to be back doing the podcast?
Oh, yeah, very glad. Yeah, good, my mental state's improved.
Yeah.
It's good.
Fucking good stuff.
Cool. Nice. See you next week.
We'll see you next week, Trev. That was great.
It's great fun, mate.
I really enjoyed learning.
It's nice you getting to hear about our little...
The restaurant, hearing about that information.
Wait till episode 2, mate, where you're going to hear, and this is a... We can tell the listeners, you're going to hear about me, Trev, and producer Joel going to a life drawing class.
I'm so excited.
Not in a religious building. There was a slight curveball that we found. It's excellent. It's going to be a
I'm excited about that. But this episode, I enjoyed learning about his nutty mate.
I enjoyed just all the facts about Polynesians. Apparently they're giants.
A Polynesian special. We've got any Polynesians, go on iTunes, review us, tell friends to download it.
Next episode, we'll be making up more facts about different civilizations.
Next week, the Mayans.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. You know how to
download. Tell your friends.
@babysittingtrevor, something like that on Twitter, Facebook,
iTunes, Instagram. 5 stars.
All that. Bye.
Bye. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.